Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
Take control of your money in 2021, episode number 3. And in this episode, the primary focus will be on you business owners, those who are CEOs or executive directors or in a financial position with your church or nonprofit, PPP too. And this is really falls right in line with taking control of your money in 2021. So in December of 2020, legislation was enacted to continue to help businesses by providing additional money for a new round of PPP, commonly known as PPP2. So there is almost $285 billion of additional funding in this round. So we're going to focus today on the who's, the what's, the when's, the where's, and the how's around obtaining a PPP2 loan that is available for hard hit businesses. And the focus of this new round of funding is for those businesses that, and nonprofits, of course, that have been hard hit as a result of all we know, COVID-19. And so let's go ahead and get started. Applications are being accepted by lenders and, of course, the SBA. This is all being administered through the SBA as normal. And so those applications began January the 11th. The deadline for applying is March the 31st, 2021. So who can apply? Who is eligible for receiving a PPP loan in this round of funding? So we want to look at it in two distinct groups. Those who received a loan last year and those who did not receive a loan or did not apply and did not receive a loan from last year. So first, we're going to talk about those who did not receive a previous PPP loan. And so this is considered your first draw. You are a first drawer in 2021. So you can apply under the same basic terms as the previous round. So we're going to review those terms. Okay. The first thing is your business had to be in operation on February the 15th, 2020. What entities are eligible? Any business, 501c3 nonprofit organization, including faith-based organization, 501c19 veterans organizations, and there are others. I won't name them all. This is all for first draws. We're not talking to those yet who did receive a loan before, and this is your second draw. This is details on first drawers. So if this is your first drawer, you can have up to 500 employees. Okay. These are generalities. As you dig deeper, there's always some exceptions and here and there. But from a high level perspective, sole proprietors, independent contractors, and self-employed persons are eligible. Now, if you are a partner in a partnership, you do not qualify for a loan, but the partnership itself qualifies. Okay? If you are a business in accommodations and food services, you are eligible as well, as long as you have less than 500 employees. 501c6 nonprofits. So many different types of entities are eligible to apply for first draws in this PPP too. There are some new categories of borrowers that have been added to this new act. And the one is the 501c6 nonprofits. That's a new category of an eligible borrower. And just another one, for example, is local newspapers, TV and radio stations. They have to have certain SBA NAICS codes. But, you know, if you're a local newspaper, TV and radio station, you just need to make a good faith certification that the PPP funds will be used to support expenses at the component of the organization that produces or distributes locally focused or emergency information. So the point is that there are, in this new round of funding, there are additional types of entities that are eligible. Now, here is a partial list of entities that are not eligible to draw a PPP loan. A business that has permanently closed. Any business that was not in operation on February the 15th, 2020. And why is that an important date? That is considered the prior to COVID-19 date, essentially. Won't go through them all, but those are two that I wanted to make sure that I bring out. And of course, any publicly traded business is not eligible to apply. Or if your business is in bankruptcy, not eligible to apply. So what would be the amount that you can borrow as a first-time borrower? Essentially the same as before. First draw loans for borrowers with employees. If you have employees, they are calculated at 2.5 times your average monthly payroll costs, up to $10 million, which is the maximum that you could borrow. Your average monthly payroll costs can be based on either 2019, 2020, or the 12-month period prior to your loan application. Of course, as usual, you are limited to $100,000 paid to any one employee. So if you have an employee who made in excess of $100,000, you have to make an adjustment for that employee or employees. And as usual, when we talk about payroll costs, payroll includes your gross wages and tips, the employer contributions to any benefit plan that includes health and life, disability, vision, dental, the usual, even retirement contributions, and SUTA. So the payroll cost includes all of that. That hasn't changed since the first round. Now, those of you who are self-employed and borrowing for the first time for PPP, if you have no employees, of course, you typically would be filing, if you're self-employed, you would be filing a Form 1040, and your Schedule C is basically your profit and loss from business. You would use that Schedule C to determine your 2.5 times your monthly net profit. So look at your Schedule C, line 31, and your Schedule C could be either for 2019 or 2020. And once again, the line 31, the maximum that it could be is $100,000. So once you've looked at that, you divide that by 12 to come up to a monthly and multiply that by 2.5. So for those of you who are self-employed, but you also have employees, you would do the same thing. Use your Schedule C to calculate, but you don't just use line 31. Because you have employees, you need to include with line 31 the payroll costs that you pay to your employees. So you have your net profit that you could use plus your payroll costs. Total those, divide that by 12 and multiply it by 2.5. That gets you to determine how much your loan could be. First draw borrowers, those who are borrowing for the first time, who received an EIDL loan, not the grant, but a loan between January 31st and April 3rd, you can refinance the outstanding amount of that loan into this PPP loan at the time that you're applying for PPP. This is just for first-time borrowers. And once again, this does not include the emergency advance because that's an advance given to you and you don't have to pay that back. So let's move to businesses that previously received a PPP loan. So you are being considered as a second drawer. So the legislation provides an opportunity for eligible hard hit borrowers to receive a second PPP loan. The intent is to support the continuation of the smaller businesses and those who have experienced a decline in their revenue in 2020. If you are not able to demonstrate, if you did not experience a decline in your revenue in 2020 versus 2019, then you would not be eligible. The loans are available to entities with a 25% reduction in what we call gross receipts. You may call it revenue, but they term it gross receipts. Okay, so let's go drill down a little further on the eligibility requirements. So you will be eligible once again if you were in operation on February the 15th and received a first draw previously. So now we are only talking to those of you who received a first draw and are interested in receiving a second draw. When I say draw, I mean loan. You received a PPP loan sometime in 2020 and you are interested in getting another loan in 2021. What's the eligibility? You must have 300 employees or less. 300. Only those who are applying for the first time can have 500 employees. So for those applying for the second time, has to be 300 employees or less. And this is based on headcount, meaning it doesn't matter whether the employees are part-time or full-time. You also must have had a 25% reduction in gross revenue between comparable quarters in 2019 and 2020. Please note, this is not a requirement for first-time borrowers. This is only a requirement for second-time borrowers. You also have to have used or will use all of your first loan, PPP loan, on eligible expenses on or before the expected date of your second draw disbursement. So at the end of the day, you will need to certify that you either have already spent all of the first loan, or you will have spent all of the first loan by the time you get the second draw. The SBA will require lenders to delay funding the second draw until you have fully utilized all of the first draw. So you can apply, and let's just say you're sitting here and you apply in February. You've not yet used all of the first draw, but you anticipate using it all by March. Well, they may approve you, but your lender will not disperse your funds until after the first draw has been used. And you may get it in March, or you may get it thereafter March. So for the second draw application, you will need to attest, you'll be required to attest that you've once again used or will use all of those first draw funds on eligible expenses. Now, what about forgiveness of the first loan? It is not a requirement that forgiveness of the first loan has been received, or that you've even submitted your application. That is irrelevant. You may have used all of the funds for the first loan, and you're still gathering all of your documentation and preparing for forgiveness. That's okay. You will not be required to have applied for or received forgiveness to apply for the second loan. However, a caveat, there are some lenders that are requiring that the application for forgiveness for the first draw has been submitted. So overall, the SBA doesn't. However, there may be your lender may require that. So they may say, hey, we want your application in before you apply for the second one. But that's not a generality across the board. If you were ineligible to receive a first loan, you're also ineligible to receive a second loan. Now, let's talk about the amount of the loan. Essentially, it's the same. Second draw loans for borrowers with employees are calculated the same way, 2.5 times your average monthly costs, up to $2 million, up to $2 million. Okay. And when you're determining your average monthly payroll, you can base it on 2019, 2020, or the 12-month period prior to when the loan is made. Once again, you have to adjust for any employee who earned in excess of $100,000. Or any employees that are not U.S. residents. And there are some other adjustments. And once again, payroll costs includes the same. Okay. Payroll costs includes all of the same items, wages, tips, employer benefits, including SUTA. The following loan factors are specific to second draw loans and differ from a first. So if you are drawing for the second time, you cannot include your EIDL loan to be refinanced with a second draw. Let me make sure we are clear that only first-time borrowers can refinance their EIDL loans that was made between January and April 3rd of 2020. Only first-time borrowers can refinance that outstanding balance of EIDL into this PPP 2 loan. Second borrowers cannot. Now, If you have no employees, if you're self-employed and you have no employees and you want to borrow again, once again, you would use your Schedule C on your 1040. And you will be able to borrow 2.5 times the average monthly net profit. And that is line 31. That hasn't changed. And that line is capped at $100,000. If you are self-employed and you do have W-2 employees, you use the same Schedule C. You pick up line 31, but you also pick up any payroll costs paid to your employees. The two of those together, you divide that by 12 to equal 1 month, and then multiply that by 2.5. That will get you the amount of loan that you're eligible for. So I know that the burning question is, how do you calculate the decline in gross receipts? And guidance is continuing to come out, and it's pretty liberal. So borrowers in operation, if you were running your business in all of 2019, all four quarters, then you should compare gross receipts during the first, second, third, or fourth quarter in 2020 to the same quarter in 2019 to determine if there was a 25% or greater revenue reduction. So for example, if you had $50,000 gross receipts or revenue in quarter two of 2019, but in quarter two of 2020, it's only $30,000, you experienced a 40% revenue reduction between these two quarters. The SBA has stated that only calendar quarters are to be used for this calculation. Now, where do you get your numbers from? You can use your tax returns. You can use your quarterly, you can use your financial statements. They do not have to be audited, reviewed, or compiled, your internal financial statements, or you can use bank statements. There's a lot of leniency. You would just have to have really good documentation as to what you use. Okay? So just make sure you understand that you're going to be using calendar quarters. Whatever form of financials to demonstrate your gross receipts is completely up to you. Now, what's gross receipts? Okay. Gross receipts is pretty much revenue in whatever form received. Okay, whatever your normal accounting method is, if you use accrual accounting, use accrual accounting. If you use cash accounting, use cash accounting. You don't change your method. You just use your normal revenue method of running your business. Okay, and so your gross receipts is whatever revenues that you generate. So it could be sale of products or services. Revenue will include interest and dividends and royalties, rent income, fees, commission, etc. What revenue will not include, or gross receipts will not include, any capital gains or losses, okay? Any taxes collected for and remitted to a tax authority at all, okay? So like one-time unusual events. There are some exceptions that you'd need to look at, but your daily operating, if you would think about it, your gross receipts would essentially represent those revenues that you typically earn running your business. So what if you had a first draw PPP loan last year in 2020 and you were forgiven? And that forgiveness. So let's say you had a $100,000 PPP loan and that was forgiven. So that's sitting in your revenue number. And let's also say you had an EIDL advance and you got a $10,000 advance. That's also sitting in your revenue number. Do you include that in your revenues for 2020? And that answer is no. You will back out your forgiveness revenue for PPP1 and your EIDL advance. Now, the judge is still out and the jury is still out. They have not provided clarification as to whether or not other relief funds, such as higher education emergency relief, state and local grants, other relief funds from 2020, are they excluded? That guidance has not been provided yet. So for if you're a nonprofit organization or veterans organization or an eligible nonprofit news organization, et cetera, gross receipts is the normal, right? It's your contributions, gifts, grants, dues, assessments, okay, sales or receipts from unrelated business activity, et cetera. Okay. There is some guidance to be provided for those of you who are nonprofit organizations as to whether restricted donations are to be included in your revenue. Gross receipts or revenues are not reduced for any associated costs or expenses. So once again, accounting methods, does the borrower, do you have quarterly or monthly financial statements? Your financial statements do not have to be audited, reviewed, or compiled. They do not need to be GAAP based. They can be cash basis, tax basis, or any other basis. If you do not have financial statements or tax returns to calculate your quarterly cash receipts or quarterly gross receipts, you can use bank statements. You will need to just make clear which deposits listed on the bank statements are included in your gross receipts and which ones do not. Because you could have some deposits made that are not revenue related. Maybe you put more money into the equity into the business. Well, that deposit would not be included in your revenue. Or once again, you can use annual IRS income tax filings. So those are some high levels regarding your first draw borrowers and your second draw borrowers. Now, what about documentation requirements? For loans greater than $150,000, you will need to document your revenue reduction at the time you make your application. Okay, so you will need to provide that documentation. If your loan is going to be more than $150,000, that documentation may include your relevant tax forms, quarterly financials, or the bank statements if that's what you're using. For those loans, $150,000 or less, documentation is not required with the loan application, but it will be required with the loan forgiveness application. So you're going to have it one way or another. Other documentation requirements as to payroll costs, that will vary depending upon whether you're using the same payroll information as the first loan, if you are a second borrower, and whether you're using the same lender. And by the way, you do not have to use the same lender. You can, of course, use a different lender if you'd like. Okay. Another point that we'd like to bring out is that entities that are applying for a first or second draw, doesn't matter, In this round, you are required to certify that current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of your business. You're required to make that certification at the time of application. Forgiveness of a first or second draw. Okay, once again, if you used it for eligible expenses, then you can apply for forgiveness. You also need to demonstrate that or certify that you did not reduce employee salaries by 25%. So as well as staffing levels need to be maintained. There are some exceptions and safe harbors. And once again, at least 60% of the loan proceeds are required to be used for payroll costs to achieve full forgiveness of the loan. What can you spend the money on? Payroll costs, mortgage interest, rent on leases, and utilities. And there are 4 additional, in this act, additional costs have been added for eligible expenses. Covered operations expenses, covered property damage costs, covered supplier costs, and covered worker protection expenditures. I know that sounds like a whole lot, but what we're going to do is just on a high level basis, before we move to those, we're going to talk about the forgiveness application. So initially, the SBA prepared a forgiveness application, a simplified form. They had provided form 3508S to streamline the forgiveness of loans of $50,000 or less. But now that form can be used for loans of $150,000 or less. Now, let's generally talk about very high level, the new categories of eligible costs. So there are 4 new categories that were added for this round of loans. And we talked about covered operations expenditures. So basically, these are for payments for business software, you know, technology costs, the processing payment or tracking of payroll expenses, human resources, sales and billing functions, or accounting or tracking of supplies. So just general operating costs. So it's far more flexible. The second category of new eligible costs is what we called covered property damage costs. And so essentially that relates to costs related to any damage and vandalism due from looting and vandalism from public disturbances that occurred during 2020. So if you had any of that happen to your business and the insurance company did not cover it all, that can be covered in this PPP too. And we've got covered supplier costs. Any type of supply of goods that are essential to the operations of your business. And then finally, worker protection expenditures. When you hear that term as for a final new type of covered cost, many businesses have had to, as a part of COVID-19 and bringing employees back safely to run the business, have had to incur a lot of costs that to be in compliance with CDC recommendation, OSHA recommendations pertaining to the protection of your both your customers, clients, and employees. So they could be things relating to adapting your business for air filtration, better air filtration, sneeze guards, physical barriers, screenings. All these things that are in place that you've had to put in place as it relates to safeguarding your people at your business for COVID-19, that is an eligible cost. So as you see, I would like to also add that guidance is continuing to come out. And based on forecasts at this time, it appears that the $284 billion is really, really, really sufficient. It is sufficient, and that the money won't run out like PPP one ran out in the first round. And so relax, you know, prepare yourself. Don't feel flustered and in a hurry. There's time. You just read the guidance, read as much information as you can, rely on your partners, business partners, your accountants, CPAs, whoever, to help you get through this process. But there seems to be plenty of funding there to cover all who would like to apply for this. Because remember, the eligibility has been reduced to for far fewer businesses. Publicly traded companies cannot apply this time. And so you have essentially almost 2 months in order to submit your application. So I hope this information has been helpful to you on the PPP 2 program. And we will continue to provide additional information as new guidance is received, clarification is received here and there. We will provide that in upcoming episodes. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated parts of your financial life and business and make it easy for you to understand.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.